So anyway, I want us just to lift our hands up to the Lord. Take a deep breath. Just say, thank you, Jesus. I just receive the engrafted word of God. I'm your daughter. I'm yielded. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah, I'm so honored to be speaking on this subject. Anna had asked me several months ago, and I think in regards to my life, you know, that she has seen just as growing up, being me being her mother, that where in my life I've had to set boundaries. And some of it came from my upbringing. And each one of us have a different walk of life, do we not? Some of it we can say, oh, I had the most awesome parents, and everything was the norm. Maybe not perfect, but it was the norm. And then some of it, you might have had some dysfunction, whether it was a divorce situation or a situation that would just infiltrate your mind with doubt and unbelief and would mold you, and not that, you know, not to hinder for what you're supposed to be doing. All is well, Jeremy? Yeah. But not set you in the position of being the woman of God that you're created to be right now and have a purpose. Because, you know, you might be functioning well in one area, but you're hindered in another area. And we've all been there. I can say that for myself. And so today's message is how to set boundaries with love, just like Jesus. Because if we do it within our own ability, we're going to do it in the flesh. We're going to do it out of anger. We're going to do it out of frustration. And I want to, first of all, share what boundaries, and there's a lot of definitions for boundaries. But this one I really liked and it spoke volumes to me. Setting boundaries, this is what it is. Setting boundaries, this is what it means, is exploring your comfort level in a specific situation. It is the practice of openly communicating and asserting personal values as a way to preserve and protect against having them compromising, boy, that's a key word, or validating who you are. Because if you're in a compromising situation and you don't feel validated, all of a sudden it's an intrusion of who you are. And so that is something that you need to speak to yourself, because it might have been carried all the way that you do great in one area, as I said, but not in another. And I want to read this. Why do we need to set boundaries? You know, and why is it so hard? How many, you know, uplift a hand, you might do well in one area, but another, how many say, you know, has it been hard? It's been hard for me, okay? And I don't say that with embarrassment. I'm saying that in regards of situations that we have might have dealt with personally in our life, in our upbringing, maybe in our marriage, maybe in our job, so many situations. But in Ephesians 6:12, it says, for we struggle not against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural places. Now, wow, that means to say that we have a lot to deal with in this world. And the enemy, especially what we've dealt with in the last several years with COVID, situations in the political realm, situations in our personal life, it will try to infiltrate, influence us in our thinking, influence us in relationships, influence us situations maybe with our husbands, maybe with our parents, maybe with our children, all kinds of situations that it can overflow where you thought, is this really God's best? And when I was studying for this, because, you know, a little of my background is growing up, you know, I grew up in a Baptist church. I loved the Lord. I didn't live in the full revelation, but I grew up with alcoholic parents. So there was a lot of dysfunction. My father died at 36, never really knew him because he was so deceived that he was a hard worker. He was a dairy farmer. But I never knew the man because he never, you know, paid any attention to me or my four other sisters. And he died an untimely death, very dysfunction with my mother, that she all of a sudden was in a world of five daughters that she had to take care of. And we would go to church, but there was not that power and the holiness at home that we should have seen, because she herself was a closet alcoholic. So that can just mess up your mind, because you thought, I looked at this. I remember when I was 9 years old, I thought, and my father died when I was nine, and I thought, I looked at the volatile relationship they had, the anger and all the situations that we dealt with personally at home, and I thought to myself as a nine-year-old, I thought, you two were crazy. And I'm not going to act like you all, because there's a better way and there's a higher calling for me. Even as a nine-year-old, I thought, I am going to be a world changer. I thought that in my own little elementary mind, but I knew God had a position and a place for me, but it was going to be a journey. How many know, say, I've got a journey? And we're going to fulfill that journey. You know, if you didn't think you could fulfill this journey, you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be at this conference, or you wouldn't be in this church, or maybe you're from another church and you're fulfilling your journey at that church. And it's so fulfilling when you know that if you come up, if I'm following a route and then I come up to a point that, wait a minute, I'm against the wall, I've got to change that journey. I've got to go in a different direction, knowing that God has a better plan. And it's exciting to me that, you know, with that plan, that there's liberation, freedom. Because, see, when you get the freedom, then your marriage gets the freedom. Your children get the freedom. Every situation overflows. I love that. I do have some awesome handouts to give to you during my session here with you all. So I'm real excited about is that I thought I want to give you some resources. And they've got some great resources out there. That when you get them, you make copies, or you want to give them to people that you know, because you will find people just like you, maybe in a little different situation, that needs your wisdom, your input, and just say, hey, I've been there, but I'm not going to stay there. Isn't that awesome? Because that's what I told myself, because with all my sisters, it was five girls, I got an identical twin sister, and she's really cute, and I don't know why. And she's fun and a little silly just like me. And we talk every day and it's just fun. And I told, someone said, oh, I really like your hair. And I said, well, I've got a twin sister that has hairdo just like me. We just keep it alike. It just makes us feel good, okay? We're empowered by it. And she's a Holy Ghost believer as well. All right, now listen to this. All right, let's start on a list about with setting boundaries, okay? Now, you will have a handout, but I'm going to, some of these things are my own personal notes and some of the resources that I drew up and put a part of my notes, but you'll be getting a handout in the next little bit in regards just for your personal information as well. Okay, here's a good way to start with, and you don't have to write this down because I have it down here for you, but I want it just to hear it so you can hear about it. It says that setting healthy boundaries begin with an honest look at your own identity. Now, what have we been hearing what Pastor Anna said last night? Your identity is in Christ, okay? Not from your past, because I had to make sure my identity was not due to alcoholism, the drugs my mother dealt with. She dealt with bipolar. And so there were some things she did good, but there's some things if she didn't, you know, stay in church. But see, it was a Baptist church, so she wasn't going to live. And nothing against Baptist church. They've got great Baptist churches or great churches out there. But she was not living in the fullness, so she could not impart that to her girls. If I don't have it, I can't give it. So we have to have it to give it. And that excites me because I was reversing the curse. Okay, that was a curse. So I was reversing the curse because my son and daughter were not going to be a part of that. The same thing on my husband's side. There were situations with adultery, alcoholism, and well, with his biological father that left him when he was a little boy. So we both, when God put us together, we thought, we're reversing the curse. Okay, now, would things from the past still try to trickle into my spirit? Yeah. Do you think the devil's going to play fair? No. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, John 10:10, but I've come to give life more abundantly. He'll steal your pathway to God and what God has called you, because each one of you ladies have giftings, talents, and abilities different from each other, but equally as important. And setting boundaries is a part of that to fulfill that. It's something, you know, it's not that we're superwoman or whatever like that, that it's just empowering by the Holy Spirit that we're pleasing God and we're obedient to Him. Right, now listen to this. It says right here, here are healthy boundaries. Number one, saying no to things you don't want to do or have time to do. Now, overtaxed you because, you know, I think for us as growing up, I know this, the two lies of boundaries is the fact of you must always be nice. Always be nice. Always be polite, which I was because I was somewhat timid growing up. I was very athletic and involved with the band, a Major Red, and all those fun things. But I had, you know, some inward insecurity about me because of my upbringing and what I dealt with home. I had to end up putting my mother in a nursing home at 69 years old, and she was there for 14 years because damage she did to her body. But you know what? I was not going to be a product of that. I honored her for all the days of her life, me and my sisters. The happily ending of the happily ending story of this is that she went to be with Jesus at 84. Relationship was restored with all her girls, and there was forgiveness and love, and Jesus got the glory. Did it happen exactly how we want it to? No, that's okay. She's with Jesus. And we're healed and we're whole. And we're not like that. And our job was just to love her and honor her to the day her last breath. So fulfilling. We were just worshiping the Lord the day she died, of thanking Him, of taking care of her, and she was ready. But it says, you know, growing up, always be nice, always be, accompanying to people, always just be nurturing. We as women, who's nurturers here? We are all nurturers. How can I fix this? How can I help that? Oh, can I help you do this? And as a pastor's wife, all of a sudden I had all these responsibilities. I want to make everybody happy. I don't want you to be lacking for anything. So I thought, okay, I'm Wonder Woman. I can do this. But I wasn't Wonder Woman. And I couldn't say yes. And so I had to learn the art of delegating. But it took some time because I never wanted to, because we grow up not wanting to disappoint anybody. I want everybody happy. But I can't make them happy. I just got to make Jesus happy. And that's all that is important. Because see, if a lot of times you've been taught if you say no, you're being selfish. You're not being selfish. You just need to be true to yourself because there is a selfish world out there. Okay, we're dealing with it. You hear it on the media, on everything that you see. But I look at these women. I don't see selfish women right here in this room. I see women trying to better themselves. Get them on a foundation. You're getting yourself on a foundation that cannot be shaken and just making right decisions just for today. You know, the word says, take no thought for tomorrow, for the evil, because this is for the evil. There's evil in the day. There's situations you have, there's decisions, things. And so we have to prepare in our heart that, all right, I'm going to make right decisions, godly decisions, wholesome decisions, holy decisions that I'm fulfilled so that by the time I lay my head on the pillow that night, Lord, I love you. Forgive me if I have sins of omission or commission. I wasn't aware or didn't intendly to do it, but I can lay that. And my last words when I go to sleep is this, Lord, I love you. Thank you for giving me this day. Because each day I think we just try to get ahead of us. And what about tomorrow? Or what about next? Let's just deal with today. Let's just deal with today. All right, the next thing is, I said, say no to things you don't want to do or have to do. Just say no. The next thing, but say yes when you need help. Because a lot of times, well, I can just do it myself. And sometimes that can be a pride thing, girl. I can do it myself. But no, draw in people and the giftings that they have, and God gets the glory. It's not about us.
Right.
It's getting the job done. I know as a pastor's wife, when we were a small church, I could do a lot, some things myself, but all of a sudden I would find this gifting of hospitality and this gifting of overseeing. Because when we started the church, I was doing children's church, overseeing all the greeters. I was the secretary. I was doing it. All of a sudden, I would relinquish each job when we would find people in that position. And it took that weight off me. And that way, I was an overseer. And even though you weren't maybe a pastor's wife, but maybe in your particular job or your situation at home, even with giving your children tasks or things like that, it all works together. Now listen to this. It's all right. Say yes when you need help. Do not be afraid to ask. Just say, hey, could you help me with this? And that will lift a load. And so many people, do you know what? They're waiting for somebody to ask.
Yeah.
They might be a little shy or thinking, well, does anybody need me? We all need each other.
Yes.
And you know, did you see all those women that came up to get filled with the Holy Spirit this morning? And the women that we all gathered around, your prayers were equally important as those that were laying hands. We did it corporately.
Yes.
And because of your obedience, you joined in and God used us.
Yep.
And it was like, maybe 15, 20 women that got filled with the Holy Spirit. So you played a part of that. Isn't that empowering? We really are wonder women in Jesus, okay? So say yes when you need help. Do not be afraid to ask. Say thank you with no apology or regret or shame, okay? Say thank you. In the fact, if somebody in regards of situation that situation that they were a part of, and maybe things weren't quite as like you thought. It's not, you don't need to get offended. Just say, thank you for helping me. You know, because not everybody's gonna do perfect. I've had people help me in situations as a minister's wife, and they didn't dot every I and cross every T. I had to fill in the blanks. I had to I had one person one time that they had offended somebody because they were so structured, you know, that it had to be so perfect, that they were so heavenly minded, they weren't earthly good, okay? Sometimes we just gotta be real that people make mistakes, so they were just correcting what they didn't do it that way. And I looked at them and I said, listen, they did their best, just tell them thank you. With no apology, just say thank you for your help. And then just leave it like that. The world has enough offense in it. We don't need to be spending our time on offense. Okay,
yeah.
I value my time, and the older I get, I value it that much more. I value my time so much now that I want to spend it in pleasing God and doing His purpose in my life. Not my purpose, but His purpose. Next is delegate tasks. As I said, you don't have skills or energy to complete. Who's a know-it-all here? Oh, good. Well, none of us are know-it-alls. We are not know-it-alls. We don't know it all. Only God knows it all.
Yes.
Okay? And we've got to realize that, as I said before, find people. You know, maybe there's something. I remember I was trying to do something in my house to decorate. Well, I didn't know it all. I didn't know anything. I grew up on a farm, and I grew up outside and doing yard work and shoveling cow manure, okay? True. My mom, when Daddy had died, Brenda and I, my twin, we did the yard work, shoveling cow manure, working in the fields, working with the cows, okay? And so my other sisters worked in the house. So I just didn't develop some things of skills of maybe cooking. I remember when I first got married, my husband said, call my mother now. Or we're gonna starve. It's a true story. Because my mom did not teach me that part, but that's okay. There was other things my mom taught me that I gleaned from, even though there was some dysfunction and craziness there. I honored her and I gleaned from what she did taught me. And I treasure those things she taught me, okay? So I choose the good memories over the bad. Amen. And it's beneficial, you know, just to do that for well-being in your heart and your soul. But I tell this funny story with my husband. you know, she gave me this wonderful recipe for homemade soup, okay? She passed away almost a year ago, and I can make Imogene Huffman's homemade soup like no other. And because she passed that legacy down to me, and she taught me, my mother-in-law taught me how to cook, okay? And now, it was so precious how the Holy Spirit will just show, give you little nudges. He said, I want you to make your mother-in-law's homemade vegetable soup. So I told my son, my son, and my husband, and my grandson. I said, well, I'm making mom-all soup. You would have thought I had just brought them the biggest present, because Joshua, my son, said, Mama, I've been thinking about mom-all and her soup. And it was just the Lord.
Yeah.
And so just little things like that that I remember that maybe because I drew from her, but I didn't get from my mom, that's okay. It's a win-win situation. So draw from the people. Do you see what I'm story? My story is? Draw the people that can help you. Doesn't mean you're less of a person.
Yeah, right.
Okay? We are here to empower each other, and then I'll brag on you. Okay? If you help me in regards of something, I had one girl help me with my house. I didn't know how I was changing from country to French country. Then I went from French country to transitional, modern. Great. But I just drew from different people that knew it. You know, then HGTV, you know, had came along. And that means how God talks vision. HGTV. Don't you ever forget that. How God talks vision. But you know, I drew from women that were just gifted. How many of you know people are just gifted in that kind of, you draw from their gifting. It just makes you look good. Just, hey, so-and-so showed me this. Okay, now let's go on. Protect your time. Don't overcommit. Who's done that?
Yes.
Oh, boy. I've done that. I was exhausted by the end of the day. Phone call, everything. And I thought, I can't do all this. And then so I protect your time. And that, you know what, when you protect your time, you're protecting your mental well-being.
That's right.
Okay? Because there's some days we feel crazy. Okay? Some days we feel crazy. Okay? And so, because now that my husband and I, we're now in a traveling ministry. I'm an evangelist wife now, you know. And I teach some and minister some. But it's a whole different ball game. You know, we'll be here till Wednesday. We'll go home Wednesday this week because we're going to see Carly in soccer and the boys in cross country. We get home Wednesday. We go back out next Friday. So I got a day and a half to get ready. So I protect my time because I'll still have people at New Life Church. Oh, Miss Bonnie, can we do a counseling call? Well, you know what I do? Well, this girl last week, she had a little emergency. You know what? I've got some hills where I go. I power walk. I work out, do weights and all that. And I put my AirPods in, went power walking, and did a counseling appointment. So I multitask. She said, you're breathing kind of. Oh, I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. No. I said, no, actually, I am walking, power walking, and counseling. And I said, hey, does that work for you? Because I've got a lot going on. She said, no, Miss Bonnie, you gave me your time.
Yeah.
And I was equally as anointed whether I was power walking,
right. Okay,
because I was already prayed up.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, think of ways of multitasking and things like that. So it's amazing, okay? All right, when you're in a situation and you're a little overwhelmed, okay, I've said this before, ask if you're in a situation with a compromising, whether it's with your husband, whether it's a relative or, you know, or a coworker or things like that. I love this one. Ask for space because sometimes we just need our own privacy.
Yeah.
And how many have little places at home that you just kind of lock in? I've got a place at home where I just go. And I have a wraparound porch, a 90-foot wraparound porch. And so I've got a little area to sit and just pray. And I call it my porch prayers. And I sit there and I just pray and just kind of regroup. Maybe there was a compromising situation, you know, because never picture people in the ministry that, oh, everything's perfect and you put them on a pedestal, because it is not.
Right.
as I don't picture you everything picture perfect, it's a mutual respect of what everybody's going through. Okay? But we get through it. You know, when Jesus says we're going to the other side, we go to the other side. Victorious. All right, listen to this. Speak up if you feel uncomfortable with how someone is treating you or you need, your needs are being infringed on. Okay? There are well-meaning people out there, but they will infringe and give you their opinion. Well, I think this, you should do this, but is it really bearing witness? You know, because this, the Lord, it'll bear witness with your spirit, because the Holy Spirit will guide you into that all truth at that time. So just be honest. Is it bearing witness? Because it makes you feel uncomfortable. Don't do it. Or if you're with your husband or your pastor or someone that you have a prayer partner, just say, someone said this to me, I'm a little uncomfortable, maybe it confused you a little bit, because we all want to do what's right. Well, maybe they know me, but you know what? You can hear the voice of God for yourself. Don't ever doubt you not hearing the voice of God for yourself. Okay? 8, it says, honor what is important to you by choosing to put your well-being and health first. Just honor yourself. Because we're honoring God for, but honor yourself in regards to your situation. Because, you know, I know, and the Lord talks about putting others, but in the situation when it's going to cause the bottom to fall out, it's not worth it. Yeah. It's not worth it. And so I overcame that because, number one, you know, I forgave any situations. I forgave my mom and dad years ago. I loved them. Even though there was division and confusion and dysfunction and arguments and crazy stuff. And it was it all the time? No. But it wasn't the norm, because if it's, you know, there can be arguments between parents. But when it gets violent and throwing things and hurting and abuse, a child should never see that or experience that. And so that can put an imprint on your mind. Or I felt the rejection I did from my father because I didn't know, none of us girls hardly knew him, because he was deceived. So I said, but I feel like the days before he went to be with the Lord that he got right with the Lord, even though he died in a car wreck, you know. So I had to leave it in the Lord's hands. Some things, there's things you will never know. You got to release it and just trust God in the process. And next it says, drop the guilt and responsibility for others. In other words, okay, drop the guilt. What if you were trying to help somebody and it didn't turn out quite like you thought? Or maybe they didn't take your idea. Or maybe this, okay? Maybe they set their own boundary. Well, I'm not going to listen. But all of a sudden, well, why didn't they take my idea? I know it was good. You know, there's just situations you've got to release them. They've got to take care of themselves. I had a situation. I had a friend, okay? I sent her, they're in Florida. They dealt with situations with the hurricane. Some things happened with, they have the lower part of their house got water damaged. They lost two of their lost their nice cars and all that. They were fish everywhere, you know, just, and so I sent her an encouraging message the other day, just speaking the word, God's favor within. I was just speaking the word and just loving her, thinking I'd get this great response. Now I'm telling you, this just happened to me, so it happens. So I'm thinking, because I read it to my husband, I said, honey, is this okay what I sent? I feel like this will encourage. He said, oh, Bonnie, that's great. Just let her know we're praying. The response I got was, I'm overwhelmed, I'm smelling fish, and you just go and do your thing for Jesus. I don't want to talk to you right now. And I went, okay, you know. And I thought, bless her heart, she's having a moment. I can't get in strife with her.
Right.
Even though what she said was, you know, pretty intense. You know, you just go and do your thing, because I don't want to talk to you. And you know what the Lord said? Continue to pray for her. I've already got a card that has these beautiful little hearts on it and a word, and I'm going to just send her a card and give her her space. Yeah, yeah. Isn't it great? Because if we need theirs, if we need our space, do you think other people need their space? Isn't that so true? It's awesome how God works through that. So drop the guilt and responsible, because we've got enough responsibility with me, myself, and I. Okay? With our family, if we're married, we have our children. There's a responsibility, so it's a full job. So we've got to take it in consideration of what we have to do in regards to that. And then number 10, it says, share person information gradually in a mutual way to others how God has helped you to set boundaries when they're ready to receive it. Because not everybody's ready to see it. Well, you know, because if they're overwhelmed, just say, well, God showed me this. You know, and one of my favorite scriptures, Revelation 12, 11, I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. My testimony is that in each of our testimony, because of our journey, is different, shows us overcomers through Christ. Romans 8, we're more than conquerors through Christ. Now let's go on here. Okay, how did Jesus set boundaries? Okay, I think that is our main focus here. Because a lot of times if we do it within our own ability, we will fail. But we do it as our Master, our Savior, our King, our Kings, our Lord, our Lords. Because see, because I did not have an earthly father, my Jesus has been my everything. He's been my everything through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so ever making intercession for me and bringing comfort for me, guiding me through the Holy Spirit. So I'm empowered by that because it was what I needed and what you needed. Because, you know, I read this down in my notes. It says like this. So how did Jesus do it? Thinking about the lives of Jesus, he set boundaries with love. He had limitations. And so let's just think both spiritual and physical. He rested and he was aware. You know, can we trust everybody?
No.
We cannot, because some people, they're in their own little world. Have you been there?
Yeah.
Thought, man, you're crazy. You know, I'm going to love you arm's length. Maybe I'm going to love you across the room. But I'm going to love you.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to give you your space. And some people, they'll come around, and some people never do, girls.
Yeah.
All right, let's be honest. Some people never, and that's okay. You pray for them, love them, but you go on your way, okay? That's not an undertaking that you're supposed to take on, okay? I've learned that sometimes the easy way and the hard way. All right, three ways how Jesus set boundaries. Number one, Jesus established prayer as a priority. Isn't that great? He said about, you know, he understood the importance of having quiet time. He understood the point that he had to withdraw for himself. Okay, in Luke, if you read the book of Luke, there was a situation. Now listen to this. Jesus is dealing with the four fishermen, and he's calling them and bidding them as coming as the disciples into his life. He heals a crippled man. He also heals and cleanses a leper. So on his way, he's busy doing the things of God. But what did he do after that? He withdrew himself. And it says here, he said Jesus withdrew to the wilderness. It said he often. So he did it periodically, because that's not one isolated situation. He did it when the Lord tells you, withdraw yourself and just go pray. You know, I love in my own life, which I'm sure, you know, Pastor Anna, several of the leaders, Miss Katie, and all those, everybody journals about their daily, you know, tasks, their situation. I'm a list maker. I check it off. I put my spiritual list. I put my practical list. I do my ministry list, and I check it off. First thing in the morning is prayer, confession, and praise. And I check it off as I do it. And for me, it's an accomplishment, my time with God, that I prepared spirit, soul, and body to be used of God. And that way I'll be led by the Lord if I need to set boundaries and things like that. And so, you know, I am a list maker, and I have a journal that some things I write, I've got in my journal things I write for me personally, for my marriage, for my, as a mother, as a minister's wife, for my grandchildren. I write specific things for my grandchildren now that they're going to find their specific soulmates and et cetera. Or things what I'm believing for Bonnie. What are you putting down for you? Okay, you know, so many times we'll write things for everybody else and we forgot about us. Yeah. So write things that you need for you. So Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer because he had to separate himself. When you separate yourself from the problem and the situation or the confrontation, you know, I could have responded to my friend. The Lord said, leave her alone. Give her her space. Okay? And that was okay. She's still my friend. Just because she was having a, doesn't mean, well, I'm mad at you. Or what's up, what's your problem, you know? No, you love her. She just, her home just went through a hurricane. I had said several days before that, because she was overwhelmed with everything. I said, I'm just thankful you and your husband are fine because you're irreplaceable. All that other stuff is can be replaced. That's all that matters to me. And she needed to hear that. But we all go through our own of overwhelmness. And the Lord showed me this, even in regards to this message, that when we're overwhelmed, we need to retreat and pray. And I said, Lord, I hope she finds a place of prayer so she can hear your voice. You know, in Jesus, the next thing of three, this is three ways of Jesus taught boundaries. He said, taught to be confident in your yeses and nos. Okay? Now listen to this. Because it says right here, she says that our yeas will be yeas and our nays will be nays. Because Jesus exclaimed in Matthew and Jesus that when we sway in our yeses and nos, we are not being honest or we're wavering. Okay? But so when you're in a situation and you knew you should have said no, but you said yes, and all of a sudden, oh my gosh, I just, yes, I've committed to this, and it's too much. So be firm with your yes. Be firm with your no. And it's not to be mean or harsh or in your face. Just say, okay, yes, I can do that. That's within my ability. But if it's a no, no, I can't because I've got this to do, and I've got to have balance. Just be honest with it. I've got to have balance. So I'll go to Kelly. Kelly, listen, I need this to be done. Okay, I need someone to go to the grocery store to me, and I want all these health certain ideas, things that I like to eat, these special chips. I'm going to write a list, and I'm going to text it to you, okay? And from there, I want you to pick up my favorite makeup at Dillard's, and it's not too pricey, but I'll pay you back eventually, okay? And then after that, if you could swing by Starbucks and get my favorite green tea, no sugar or anything like that, just swing by Anna's house this afternoon. You know, that would be great. Could you do that for me?
Unfortunately, I don't think I can.
See there, was that easy? You know, unfortunately, you know, and I respect her, and I know the busy, you know, she's a surgical nurse. She's got a family, a husband in the ministry. So I honor and respect her. But whether I knew all of that anyway, if I didn't know any of that, I accept her because if I put, if someone puts pressure on you, something's off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Manipulation, controlling, a little bit of narcissism, all. No, you're going to do this for me.
That's good.
Okay? Stop it right now. Yeah. Okay? Stops with me and Jesus.
That's right.
I got my circle.
Yeah.
I tell you this story. I got to tell you this story. This happened years ago. This might wig you out, but I, you know, because I normally was not a bold person because of things I dealt with growing up. I was more passive and just, you know, more reserved. And that's okay. God's used some of that for practicality purposes. But I'm bold, you know, I'm bold now and know who I am even stronger. I'll never forget when my mother, I had to become her power of attorney. She's 69. Her mind was leaving her. She had alcoholic dementia. And she called me, and some bad things happened financially. People took advantage of her. And I had to get a judge. And I'm at this judge's, and so I'm getting all the paper. And so it's real emotional because she wanted me to do it, not the other sisters. So I did it to honor her. And it was hard to see because I knew what was coming. But I knew God had equipped me. And so, girls, this happened. This judge, lawyer, came up to me, and so we're getting all the paperwork, and my mom's sitting there, and I went another, and I said, Mom, you sit in this office, so I'm going to get all the paperwork and get it documented. And so this judge came up to me, and he's older than, so, you know, he's kind of a grandpa, like, okay, you're okay. But he came up to me, here, you come here. All right. He came up to me, and I'm not crying, but I'm just like, this is tough. So he comes up to me that he's going to give me this hug. What? Judge? Okay. You're not going to be hugging me. You're not going to be touching me. So he's getting ready to, Miss Huffman, let me just give you a hug. And you know what I did? I grabbed him, and you know, it was a good thing I was working out with weights. I set a boundary, and I pushed him back, and I said, excuse me, get back, I need my space. And he said, oh, I didn't mean anything. No, well, he didn't need to be consoling me and getting my space. Respect where I'm at. You can sit down. Yeah. You know. I pushed him a lot harder. I would never push him harder. But I said, I need my space. Okay, I don't know what he was going to do. You know, you think, well, even the judges, he's going to be all, well, he's not going to be Mr. Holy Judge. Okay, he's a judge. And I just think he thought, well, this is, you know, and this was years ago. This was probably, my mom's been gone 10 years. So it's been a while back when this happened, but something said, protect yourself. You know when to protect yourself, even now more than ever. Okay. I'm going to be taking a self-defense class, too, real soon, when my time allows, just to be prepped, okay? And so, but I said, I need my space. And that's like telling the devil when he gets in your space, here, let me get back, devil. I need my space. I'm going to turn my worship music on. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to speak in tongues. I'm going to dance in the Holy Ghost. Take that. And that you have to get in his face. You know, and there's a righteous indignation that has to rise up in you. Okay? It's not that I was mean. I was absolute from where I was coming from. You know, you have to be absolute from where you're coming from. Because the thing is that when your yes is yes, there's a yes. When there's a no, there's a no. And people need to respect and honor that. If someone says to you, you know, well, no, I can't do it. So it goes both ways. And we're learning. It's a learning process. We learn it with our children. There's times with our marriages. We have to set boundaries and things because, you know, our husbands might think one way, we think another. Doesn't mean you have a bad marriage, but there's things you have to work with an agreement. Yes, I can do this. No, I cannot. I can remember growing up with my kids. Do you ever think I needed to set boundaries with Anna? Strong-willed girl. She talked a lot. I said, Lord, all that talking is going to be used for your glory one day.
That's right.
Yeah. By the time when she would maybe smart off in the morning, because like she said, she wasn't a morning girl, but I would set boundaries in the morning, but when we get up, by the time she got to school, and I've told people this before, by the time there were not cell phones, thank you, Jesus, she'd get to school, go to the school office, use the secretary's phone, and call me and apologize. Because she would be a little smarty, you know, and she'd apologize, okay? Because I'd set my boundaries. I said, Anna, you're off here, okay? You know, and, you know, she's a teenager. We've all done it, okay? We've all done it. But that's okay. Because look at the end result.
Right.
Train up a child in the way they should go. And when they're old and they depart, they will not depart from it. We train, we guide, we steer them in that way of their gifting. I knew she had a gifting. I knew my son had a gifting. But we set boundaries. Have you not set boundaries? Even with your babies and your toddlers and everything like that. If we didn't set boundaries, they might be off the cliff somewhere, okay?
Right.
But even things at home, we set those boundaries. And I know you moms are great moms. Now listen to this. The number three, Jesus expected others to state their needs. You know, in regards of setting boundaries, in Matthew 20, 30, 32, two blind men were sitting beside the road, and when they heard that Jesus was coming that way, they began shouting, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." Okay, so they were stating something, okay, because they needed something from the master. But what did Jesus say? You know, this is what I love about, because when we're in this situation, sometimes regards of sin, you have to state your need. Their need was healing. And he said, "What do you need from me?" Okay, now are you getting this? Because in situations with people that you're not, you know, because they need to be telling, "What do you need from me? How can I help you?" That's what he was saying. How can I help you? Because there's times when we're around and we're in a room with a crowded room and there's women saying, "Jesus, have mercy." Now, inside you're saying it. You've got this thought process and there's thoughts and there's an overwhelmness or thoughts from the past or what happened the day before or maybe an argument with your husband or with a teenager or a job situation. And you're saying, "Lord, have mercy." And the Lord's, all he's saying is, "What do you need of me?" So go over there and just tell him. Get on your knees and just let him know. That's what this go bold, you know, we've got a word for this season. Go bold. Go bold, you know. And that's with a little attitude. I have Holy Ghost attitude, and you do too. I love it. I love it. We have to have that on. All right, now here's three ways to get started with setting boundaries, okay? Prayerfully ask God to guide you in this boundary setting journey, okay? Because we come to the feet of Jesus in our thing. We prayerfully get started by God in this boundary as that we started asking God through prayer. And I'm saying again, get your journal. They're selling journals right out there. If you don't have one, get you one. And write down what you need. You know, we can say it. You need to speak it out. You know, Mark 11, 23, to whosoever shall say into this mountain, be thou removed, cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things we say, shall come to pass. He or she will have whatsoever they say it. Okay? So with that mountain there, you speak it, but I write it down. Habakkuk 2:2 says, write the vision, make it plain. Those that read it may run with it. So what is your vision? You got to write it. This fits in with boundaries in everything what we're dealing with. Because see, when you prayerfully ask God, then you're positioning yourself to be used of God and hearing his voice and finding your identity in him. The number two, you state your identity in Christ, who you are in Christ. You know, Philippians 1:6 says, be confident of this very thing, that he that's begun a good work in you will accomplish it, perfect it in the day of Jesus Christ. So there's a perfecting every day, okay? You know, when I get up and fixing my hair, putting my makeup, I said, "Lord, I'm perfecting all what's going on here," you know. That's in the natural, but the spirit man is so much more important. When I wake up, when I wake up in the morning, I tell the Lord I love him, and the last thing I say before I go to bed, I tell him I love him. I want my Lord and Savior to hear the words. Hear those words so he can hear my heart and position myself. It's so important to do that now, to position yourself for just great. I always say, this is going to be the best day ever. And I might know I've got a lot going on. You know, whether I'm washing clothes and throwing clothes in the laundry, or I'm on the phone talking to someone, or my husband's, we're speaking vision and things over Daryl Huppin Ministries. You know, it's constant in what we're doing, even with the boundaries with that. but you state your identity in Christ. So you find scriptures in your journal, and you've been hearing some great scriptures. Anna shared them last night. Pastor Marcy this morning. You know of favorite, how many got favorite scriptures that just speak to you? Mine's 51, Philippians 1, 6, as I just said, Philippians 2, 13. God works in me both to do the will of his good pleasure. Philippians 3, 13. Boy, I say this one every day, forgetting those things are behind, pressing on to the high calling God through Christ Jesus. You know, Philippians 4, 6, rejoice again. I say rejoice and let your moderation be known unto God, wherever things are true, good, honest, true, good, honest, pure, and holy, of any virtue or any praise. Let the God of peace remain in you. You know, and I wrote this down right here that, you know, that in regards to this, that this is one of your handouts I'm going to get ready to hand out. It just says, you know, in regards, when you need to set boundaries, are you dealing with fear of the fear of the situation, what will confront you, the fear of rejection? How many have dealt with rejection? I have. Let's just be honest. We've all dealt with rejection. I dealt with rejection of my father. He never told me he loved me. He really never talked to hardly any of us. And so, but he was dealing with his own internal thing, okay? But when forgiveness takes in, you release that. And so now, I just let my Heavenly Father fill in all that void and all that love, okay? And what the devil meant for bad back then has been turned to my good, because my experience has made me closer to God, because some people withdraw. They'll go backwards. But see, when you forget those things are behind and press on, all of a sudden, the real you in Christ comes forth. Isn't that awesome? The real you in Christ comes forth. You're going to be used to the glory of God, be productive, flourish, have a purpose. You're going to be a better wife, mother, better sister in the Lord, better person in your job. It never stops, or a worker or a volunteer in your church. Listen to this, all right? Your identity in Christ. Because see, write down scriptures that bring strength to you. Okay, I just shared a few, but you write your scriptures. Different scriptures that might speak to me will speak to you in a different way that you need to write for you. And you know what? I do this, you know, because I, you know, keeping connected to the word and record your boundaries, the saying that how you are moving ahead, like maybe you had to set a little boundary right then. Well, I had this, but I appropriated the word. I said this. And then there's a fulfillment, like, Lord, we did it. I always say, Lord, me and you. I said, me and you are majority. Majority wins. We did this together. Because I can't do, I'm nothing aside from the Lord. I am nothing. As filthy rags. But in him, I'm his daughter. And I hear him saying, I'm so proud of my daughter. Of little things in the fact, I need to hear my Heavenly Father say that. And he tells me that when I know I've done his word. I've known I've done his purpose. Or when I've set a boundary or something like that. Because it really works as you appropriate this. And I'm going to put these out for you all. Here, just pat these down here. Let's see. I'll give you this. There. Keep one. My secretary made them pretty. Just get one. And I've got another handout here too, that some of these things I found online. These are powerful. Here, let's pass these. Everybody get one? Here, we'll pass these around. And some of these things were in my notes, but this will be great resource material. And I just put this here. So some of it, What I've said is repetitious in what I've been saying, but repetition can be your best teacher. If you're telling your children and they didn't quite hear it the first time, what do?
You
say it again. And sometimes you say it again.
Uh-huh.
Does your Heavenly Father say it again to you?
Yes.
Because sometimes we don't get it the first time. Or sometimes we're a little resistant. Sometimes we just want to do it our own way. Okay? Sometimes it can be rebellion. Or I can do it myself. No, I just want to do it God's way. And then it's done the first time. Let's get it over with. Okay? Make it right the first time. And let's just remind ourselves, because we're about done. Anna said, be done at 12:30. So she was setting me a boundary. Who does she think she is? But no, what do? I submit. Okay. Does somebody, I'm just using it as a fun example, but it's true. But that's honor and respect and submission. You see what I'm saying? It's all relevant and it all ties together. All right, just a reminder, what boundaries do you need to set? I'm just going to read this. There are times in our lives where boundaries need to be set. If you've been hurt, we've all been hurt. If you've been disappointed, we've all been disappointed. If you've been overwhelmed, we've all been overwhelmed. We can often say such, I will never, have you said this? I've said this. I will never open myself up again.
Yeah.
I've said that. Lord said, why did you say that? No, you can't say that. And although that's a boundary, that's a boundary, but that's a wrong boundary. So let's get the balance, okay? We don't have to think like Einstein, because that's a whole nother theory, but we got to think like Jesus, okay? And it says we need to ask ourselves if this boundary that has been set within ourselves due to fear, this is a catcher. Am I setting this boundary due to fear? Okay. Or one that comes from the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, it said, I will guide you into all truth. And that's the truth you need at that time. Okay? And that's John 16:13. And that's what you need. Fear will shrink your spiritual growth. Because see, when you're in fear, what do? Withdrawal. You withdraw. You don't want to be around people. You don't. But the Holy Spirit will increase your spiritual growth so you can hear the voice of God. There's an empowerment. There is a holy boldness. Second Timothy, I just put some scriptures there, but you add your own. You do this. And like I said, three ways, to get started. Prayerfully ask God to guide you. Give all the cares and worries to the Lord. State your identity in Christ, as I said. Keep connected. Then ask yourself, there's a little fill in the blank right here. Just jot a few things. This is where I need to do it. And with the individual, right, let's just be honest. This is hitting close. What do you have to set some boundaries, some things with your husband? Be honest. And just be open about, this is what I'm a little overwhelmed. Can we come in agreement somewhere? Because he might have this great expectation, and you thought, I can't meet that, but I can do this. Or maybe with a coworker, or maybe, all right, let's set in a boundary with your children, or no matter what, or with the job. Maybe it's things here at church, okay? Communication, because this church loves you. They care for your well-being, but open communication where you can come on common ground and to become in agreement and just love like Jesus does. Amen?
Amen.
Did y'all get something out of this?
Yes.
Amen. So let's just join hands together. Y'all want to stand? We're going to join hands. That's okay. Yeah, let's just join hands. Everybody join hands. Here, Father, we thank you and praise you for this anointed session, Lord. We thank you and praise you that we have presented ourselves as holy, sanctified unto you, Lord, that each woman came here, for a certain purpose and a desire in their life to set boundaries according to your word. And Lord, that they can do all things through Christ who strengthens them. It is God working in them both the will to do of his good pleasure in Jesus' name. Psalm 84:11, he will not withhold any good thing to those who walk uprightly, Lord. And that good thing, Lord, even in our everyday life, is setting boundaries according to your word, Lord. We thank you, Lord, you will meet them right where they're at, Lord, in their home, in their marriage, with their children, with the toddlers, Lord, even with grandchildren, Lord. We thank you with the coworker, with their boss, Lord, in situations that, Lord, maybe none of our business, but, Lord, between you and them, Lord, you will show them. The Holy Spirit will show them, Lord. We will do our part. You will do your part, Lord. We thank you. We present it to you at the altar of Lord. I thank it at your feet, Lord, that knowing you are the God that's more than enough to meet any situation. We give you glory and honor. I speak for success stories. I speak for testimonies, overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, that we go forth and see victory, that we go bold in the name of Jesus. Amen.